UCV, make some noise for Cody Lindquist and Charlie Toad!
Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse, but not in my backyard.
Hello! Welcome to Not In My Backyard. This is actually the Knicks game tonight. This is the Knicks game. Yeah, so thank you guys for coming to the Knicks game. We're going to win.
My mic is being funny. All right, now it's really loud. Thanks, guys, so much for coming out. And, I don't know. I don't watch basketball. Anybody here a big Knicks fan that is checking their phone during the show?
If you are a Knicks fan, thank you for being here. That's a real sacrifice. I don't know anything about sports.
It sounds like our audience doesn't either,
Knicks
so we
game,
can move on.
The Knicks are football. Great. Sounds good. Welcome to Not In My Backyard. My name is Cody Lindquist. This is my husband, Charlie Todd.
We are married. That is correct.
Yeah.
We love talking about politics. We're obsessed with local politics and local issues.
Yeah, we are.
I am a public member of Manhattan Community Board's 4 Transportation Planning Committee.
Yes.
But my views today are not the views of the entire board, solely my own.
Yeah, and I am on the executive board of my children's school PTA. And also just recently ran for Community Education Council.
Yeah.
None of those jobs pay us, by the way.
No, that's right. And we're also comedians who met here at the UCB Theater many years ago. We have our love story is just charming this audience. we have some very funny friends that are going to come out here in a little bit. You want to switch it out?
But we'd like to start off the show just to sort of see where this audience is at with your knowledge. So we'd like to do a little quiz. Little local quiz. So we're going to start off with this. So Memorial Day was this weekend in New York City, and it saw the fewest number of shootings since records started being kept 32 years ago. Congrats, New York. I want to see, does anyone know, or can anyone make a guess, how many incidents of gun violence occurred in the city this past Friday?
Friday through Monday. So,
Friday through Monday.
So the 32 years we've been keeping records. This is the lowest for Memorial Day weekend. How many incidents of gun violence without going over? Shout out a number.
Raise your hand if you think you know.
7.
32.
32. 100.
7 was right off the bat. Did you know that or did you have a good guess? 7 is the number.
That
Give
was
it
amazing.
Up for...
Whoever said 100 watches way too many episodes of Law & Order. Literally someone is raped and murdered every single second on Law & Order SVU. So.
So we have one more quiz question. And for this, we want to get 2 contestants on stage. And I'm going to tell you what the question is in advance to see if you think you can do it. I'm looking for people who think they can name the most stops on the G train.
The most stops on the G.
G is in Greenpoint. We're going to be talking about some news about the G train during our show today. But even if you can only name 2 or 3, you still might
win. You might win.
So
raise your hand.
Anybody,
we want 2 people to come on up.
If you think you know... A couple of, all right, right here. Come on up.
Okay.
We need one more contestant
more.
In the back. Thank you. Come on up. Give it up for our volunteers.
Come on back.
What is your name?
Ashley.
All right,
okay.
What's your name?
Addison.
Ashley and Addison.
Wow, are you guys twins? That would be a really great twin name, would be Ashley and Addison. I like that.
So, Ashley, do you live near the G train?
No, but I rode it a lot when I was looking for an apartment that didn't work out.
Okay, all right.
And how about you? Do you live near the G train?
I'm 10 minutes by foot.
All right.
Okay,
so...
Yeah, great.
Here's how this is going to work. We're going to name G train stops one at a time until someone cannot name a G train stop. These are current G train stops. G train used to go further into Queens. We wouldn't count that. So, all right, we will start with you, Ashley.
Church
Avenue.
Nassau.
Carroll.
Myrtle Willoughby.
Clinton.
Smith 9th Street.
Fulton.
Bedford Nostrand.
Is this timed?
Yeah. All right. We're going to go, Addison. So you're tied right now. Addison, can you name one more for the win?
Broadway.
Let's give it
Hell
up.
Yeah.
South Williamsburg, Broadway. Yeah. All right. Great job, both of
that
our contestants.
Great. I could probably name one. I mean, guys, I'm sorry. I live in Manhattan.
Anybody in the audience, did you have one on the tip of your tongue that you wish had been yelled out? Anyone yelled out?
Is court one of them?
Court square.
Yeah. Court square,
we probably
yes.
Count court right there.
Fourth and
9th Street. That was said, though, right? Oh, no, Smith 9th was said,
Smith
not 4th 9th.
Metropolitan
Lormer, where it meets the L. Classic. All right, this is a very educated New York audience. I think we have the right crowd for this show. Our next show is going to be Wednesday, not Thursday, but Wednesday, June 25th at 7 p.m. right here at UCB.
Yeah.
And we have Rachel Holiday Smith, the managing editor of The City.
Going to be pretty great.
Who is super...
And more TBD.
And more guests TBD. This show is recorded as a podcast, so you can subscribe to the podcast and listen to yourself shouting out Greenpoint Avenue. G-Train stops.
On the G-Train, listen to this podcast.
That's right. But let's get a little intro music going here. We're going to bring out our guests. You guys ready to meet our wonderful panelists? He is a comedian and actor who New York Magazine once called a very gay comic. Please welcome Jake Cornell.
She is the executive producer of CBS Morning, Shauna Thomas.
He has written on over 2,000 episodes of The Daily Show. Please welcome Zubin Parang.
Do you get any sort of gold watch when you hit 2,000?
You used to get a little gold... Sorry.
You used to you get a little
a microphone.
Gold coin.
You need a microphone.
You get a microphone.
Okay.
You
they
would
don't
get
use
a...
microphones on The Daily Show.
No, they don't. We they're higher production. It's a little thing on your neck. Not like this. This is real... what's the nicer word for basement?
Former DIY. Gym.
Former gym.
Yeah.
This was a gym. It was like a Gold's Gym.
It was. So if anyone feels like working out during the show, you know, go right ahead. So we want to start off just diving right into Eric Adams because, boy, there's never too much to talk about with him. So this month it was revealed that Mayor Adams used at least 7 different cell phone numbers during the period he was under investigation. And he said, many New Yorkers have several phones. There's a series of phones that you have. So I guess our first question is, what's the most phones that you've ever had?
You gotta be fair to him. They have different adapters in Istanbul and on Turkish Airlines. He needs different phones for that.
Yeah.
I generally, once in my life when I was, when there was the BlackBerry era, when I was at a law firm, you had to either have a BlackBerry as your phone and the work phone or have a separate phone. And for a while, I was like, I'm going to have a BlackBerry as my work phone and my regular phone. And after a while, I was like, I'm happy for the firm just to just use all my personal information. I don't care anymore. It's just two phones. This all happened during the SlimFit era. So the idea of it, like, walking around with, like, three, like, enormous bulging... Like, you looked like you were wearing cargo pants, and you were not wearing cargo pants. It was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a period of time in one of my previous jobs. I'm the journalist up here, so I'm only going to make fun of journalism. I had 3 phones at NBC.
3 phones?
Yes. 3?
3 phones. This was era of BlackBerry, the beginning of iPhone, and then I also still had a flip phone that was the AT&T one that worked internationally no matter where you were.
And was so one of those?
It was all about the phones being on 3. There was AT&T, Verizon, and I think T-Mobile. There were literally, you wanted them on 3 different services just in case where you were something didn't work.
And those were all work phones, and then you also
and
had a personal
phone?
And they
were all work. No, at that point, I also didn't care about my company having all of my data. I do now, actually. And they were all work phones.
It's still less than half of what Eric had.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, to be clear.
He's doing more work than me, right?
Sure.
Okay.
It's so funny
No, he's actually definitely not.
It's so funny that of those 3 phones, looking back on it, everyone's like, now it's like, I wish the flip phone had won that battle. Like, why did we let the iPhone win? Why did the smartphone have to conquer the world?
I loved my BlackBerry.
It was so nice.
I miss that.
Well, we want to talk about the upcoming primary. So I'm wearing my ranked choice voting shirt today. I have to say, I made this shirt myself. And this is not my exact order, but these are the 5 names that I will be putting on my ballot. Yeah. Andrew Cuomo is not one of them.
So last month, Charlie has made a side hobby of making T-shirts. And last month, he made us ones with Cuomo's face with an arrow through it that said, or line through it that said, you know, don't rank Cuomo. So this is your other ranking shirt.
This is my other shirt, and I've been wearing it for about a month.
So you have multiple rank choice voting
that
shirts.
He made himself.
Not only that, I made them just for myself, but every time somebody sees me with them, they ask about buying them. So I've made multiple $2 commissions on tpublic.com from this shirt.
But this is not the order you would go. You're advertising an order you do not personally endorse?
He doesn't want people to know. That's his business.
I wanted the shirt to be universal. I also feel like I'm probably putting Brad first. So my shirt, for those listening, it's Brad. It's a Zoran, Brad, Zelnor, Jessica, and Adrian. Adrian is probably going to be last for me. And Jessica, this is probably the right order, but I think I'll put Brad.
Did you change your mind after you printed the shirt?
And I didn't. Wow. I just thought if the shirt had Brad first, people would be like, who is Brad?
Wow.
Right? That's such a boring name. No offense to the Brads. But
you wanted to incite conversation, but you didn't want to be a part of that conversation when it gets started. Yeah.
The main conversation that I'm trying to have is, I don't care who you put in your ballot as long as it's not Andrew Cuomo. And here are five names that I would suggest.
Love that.
If you want to put Whitney Tilson on your ballot, good for you.
Who I just found out was running on our show last month when we did a quiz about candidates.
Ooh.
But Jake, you made a video on Instagram that caught our eye where you were explaining that we are not ranking Cuomo, the we as in all of us, I suppose. Can you want to explain your motivation there?
I just think that, like, I think it's, like, if you lived in New York over the last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, like, you cannot fathom the idea of Andrew Cuomo being our mayor. Like, that is so absurd. And I do think that a big part of his campaign is the hope that people will think, well, we have to put him down because he's they won't understand that you can just simply not rank him and he will get on the ballot because of that.
Like, they'll think he's the correct answer on the quiz.
Yeah, like, I think people will be like, oh, you have to use all the answers, or, like, in some sort of, like, SAT-style nightmare thing, your ballot won't count. And I do think he is kind of banking on that. And so, like, you just simply don't put his name on the thing. And I just think he has so much name recognition, and, like, the brother being on CNN, there's just too much name recognition. We have to really be clear to people, like, you don't rank him. It's so simple. It's so simple. I love activism where it's don't do something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's so rare.
Yeah.
It's so rare.
It really, I mean, to me, at least in the primary, and then I guess Cuomo may run on another party line in the fall. Adams is running on two other party lines in the fall. So it's not over. But I think for this primary, and what day is this primary, Cody? You saw some news about this.
This was so funny. So everybody's like, what's ranked choice voting? Like, we have to vote. Primaries, they don't get it. And then was it at City Field?
Yeah.
At City Field, they were advertising when to vote, and they put the wrong date for the primary.
The Board of Elections, yeah.
So it's like the Board of Elections can't even advertise correctly, and then they wonder why New Yorkers are confused. It's very confusing, but they did fix it eventually when Gothamist pointed it out to them, so it took them a whole day.
I will be putting Cuomo first on my ballot.
No!
This is kind of awkward.
Because I will also be writing in Bill de Blasio for governor, because that dynamic was so beneficial to New York, and I want to bring it back.
I saw him recently in a party. Like, he was down at the Correspondents' Dinner in D.C. Bill de Blasio. Yeah. I didn't see Cuomo. I mean, Cuomo was probably there, but I didn't see him. But Bill de Blasio was, here's the deal, looks great.
Yeah, like, he's single. He's mingling.
Oh, he was with a woman.
Oh, okay.
He was with a woman.
Okay.
But he had, like, a little, like, there's a little Ozempic there, and you can sort of tell. And I like, had to, like, double take. This was fourth party of the night on the Friday night before the Correspondents' Center, where you do this whole slew of parties, so I wasn't sober. And and I, like, did a double take, and then I was like, is that Bill de Blasio?
Okay. Okay, Bill.
That's just a side story.
Why does he
just
not
that, like, that?
Why
like,
makes
he
me
not
think
do
that
something?
Man does not want to run for office again.
I don't understand why he does not do something. After what Cuomo did to him, he could easily step on Andrew Cuomo, I feel like, and finish this off once and for all.
Well, his whole thing when he was in office was sort of not doing anything.
I guess that's true. He's got to stay true to his roots.
Universal pre-K. He said he was going to give universal pre-K. He did it on day two, and then he was just like, I'm done.
I'm just going to coach me on.
De Blasio and Adams are an amazing combination if you want a lot of cops on a train, and then you want to be stuck on that train with them for a really long time underground. Yeah.
With the cops staring at their phones playing Candy Crush. Yeah. So speaking of Cuomo, Cuomo is currently under investigation, we just found out. So after killing a criminal case against Eric Adams, the Trump administration has begun investigating Andrew Cuomo over his testimony about the pandemic. Does this investigation actually help Cuomo by making him like a foil to Trump? Do you think New Yorkers are just exhausted by all the investigations already? Do you think they want a mayor who's not mired in legal issues? Or do you think we don't care because it's New York and we're like, it's fucking fine. I don't know.
Do you remember, did anyone else have the thing when you were stuck inside during the pandemic where you sort of like lost your mind and started like having like internet flirtations with people that you should have never been sexting with and sort of thing? We forget that we all had that with Cuomo a little bit during the pandemic where people were like calling him Daddy Cuomo. Like we kind of really blocked this out, but it's like, I don't want us to bring up any more talk of that time because we did sort of like get hot for him for a second. Yeah. And I don't think we need reminders of that.
But it is like when you've gone through a breakup and you hook up with the ugliest person possible afterwards.
Absolutely.
And then you're horrified by that choice. Yes. It should be like that. We shouldn't be like, oh yeah, we should be like, don't tell anyone I slept with that person, you know?
Yeah. It was also
I think the Trump investigation helps him in this city. Because it's the opposite of kind of what happened with Eric Adams and the fact that like his charges got dropped and we know that the Trump administration was somewhat involved in that. And I always choose my words carefully. And then it seems so obvious that they're now investigating the guy who has more name recognition than the guy that they want to help them, that I think there is a way, especially because Cuomo is a really good talker, to run on that. And that just gets him more attention, which, you know, sort of devalues your shirt. Like, ranked choice voting is great, but there's two people on the ballot. Well, one of them I don't think any of y'all are voting for, so that's fine. But there's one person on the ballot who wasn't the mayor, and you remember him, and you're like, oh, Cuomo's, just in general in New York. I think putting yourself in the news and the Trump administration putting him in the news helps him.
I totally agree with that. Brad Lander needs to do something to piss Trump off. He's got to start his own meme coin or something. Whatever gets himself investigated, he's got to ramp that up. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Lander is probably my number one because he's really great on streets and he's really great on housing. He's a YIMBY, as I am, but he's very boring. He's not charismatic. He has a very, like, politician cadence. And it's frustrating. I feel like we just had a series of people who are kind of boring. Elizabeth Warren, Catherine Garcia for mayor 4 years ago, and now Brad Lander, where it's like, this person is great, but they're not charismatic. Now, Zoran, on the other hand, is quite charismatic, handsome guy, and I think, you know, maybe he's got a chance. He's been soaring in the polls.
Why don't people just want a boring person? Like, I feel like we would do really well with a boring mayor who Trump just ignored. Like, wouldn't it be cool to have a boring-ass mayor who just got shit done?
You gotta remember their name, especially if there's, like, 10 people on the ballot.
I'll vote for any of them, just like someone who's gonna get shit done and not fight with Trump, and Trump will forget about them. Like, you know, he'll be like, I don't know who this person is, and then we've got, like, mass transit that works. Think about it.
You gotta fly under the radar, like Tufts University right now, down the street from Harvard. Nobody's messing with Tufts. I'm sure whatever Harvard did, Tufts did too. You know what I mean?
I don't know anything about Tufts.
Exactly.
Now you put them on their radar, though. Exactly. You said Tufts out loud, and Trump's going to go after
them. I mean, he could
have
also said Boston University, which more people would have recognized, but that's fine.
Yeah, but, well, Boston University has more name recognition than Brad Lander right now. So.
Honestly, I thought Tufts was in New Jersey until about 2 months ago.
We want to talk about some New York issues outside of politics for a little bit. And I want to talk about a recent New York Times investigation found that the number of bars that stay open until 4 a.m. are shrinking. The community board in Williamsburg and Greenpoint no longer approves bars for licenses past 2 a.m. And many blame the pandemic for a permanent shift in routines. Is this a tragedy or does nothing good happen after 2 a.m. in New York City?
It's an absolute tragedy.
Wait, how old are you?
32.
Okay.
Just because you don't use a resource doesn't mean it's not important.
I will say, as someone who is not 32, this city needs 4 a.m. bars. You need it. The city needs to have that kind of energy and that excitement, so that when I am up walking my kids to school at 7, I can see all of the used condoms on the street, and I can think, like, well, someone is having fun at least.
You got to teach your kids early.
Also, yeah. If you're the kind of person who leaves a bar at 2 a.m., do you want the kind of people that normally live at 4 a.m. leaving the bar at the same time as you? You don't.
Yes, yes.
You don't. Yes. They're going to be in line for pizza.
That's exactly right. They're different crowds. You don't want to be all bunched in at 2 a.m. Well, that's absolutely right.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like the same thing. It's like, people are going to do coke between 2 and 4. Let them do it inside. Yes. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Let them spend. Yes. Let them put some money into the tax-paying economy for 2 more hours.
I agree.
Buying beers and shots.
All right, audience, who here, raise your hand if you've been at a bar at 4 a.m. when the lights come on within the last year. Oh, wow. Look at this. Ooh. All right. I'm very impressed by that.
It's a very cool audience you guys have. It's very awesome. Wow.
I mean, maybe? When was the last? Maybe.
I did that at Peter McManus Bar a few times in my 20s. You know,
Your 20s? Every night, Charlie. We were up
at 4?
4 a.m.? That was our normal bedtime.
The nostalgia.
Right, bedtime, not still at the bar.
Okay,
time.
At the bar at 3:30.
The nostalgia.
We used to live next to, and I'll say it's a safety issue. It's a safety issue. We used to live next to a bar called Dino's Bikini Bar, okay? Now, they had a bouncer, and they stayed outside until 4 a.m. I lived 2 doors down. It was like having a personal doorman.
Hell yeah.
I tell you what.
It was that kind of security issue.
It was that kind of security issue. And I thought, thank you, sir. Thank you for your service. I knew I could walk home from a show at 3 a.m. and that bouncer would be there to protect me. Or push me into human trafficking stripping. I don't know. It was a very sketchy bar.
It's moving your life forward in some direction. There is every... And maybe I'm projecting myself here, but there is a moment in every New Yorker's life when they are young and they are pleasantly drunk, walking out of a bar after 2 o'clock on their way home, and they see the bars full of other people. Usually it's a summer night, and everyone's outside and talking and drinking. And there's
this
moment
where you want to have one more,
huh?
You want to
not just one more, but you are suffused with this love for everybody who is out and for your fellow New Yorkers and for humanity in general. And you don't get that before 2 a.m. After 2 a.m.
What do you think it is about that 2 a.m.?
It's something
time?
Where it's like, look at us all here together. Okay. Just all just living in... We're only going to have... We are, as a group, as a cohort of people, we are only sharing this planet with each other in this moment of time. And you have to be a little drunk, a little late at night to understand that on a visceral level that I'm not sharing this planet with my great-great-granddaughters or my great-great-grandfathers. I'm sharing this planet with all of us here in this moment. And you have to be just a little drunk, a little late at night to get that. And if you don't get that, I don't think this city is what it is.
I think that deserves applause.
Thank you.
Juman, I think you need to show up at the Greenpoint Williamsburg Community Board and make this case at their licensing and permitting committee meeting next month.
If I can be a little drunk, I'll do it, yeah.
No.
I also like, too, that everyone's like, that sounds great, but just not in the neighborhood I live in. Although we live in Hell's Kitchen.
I want to be able to go back up. Yeah,
Hell's
I want to be able to leave the town.
It's poppin'. It's poppin'. Hell's Kitchen.
I want to talk about pedicabs. They've been in the news. Audience, raise your hand if you've been in a pedicab in the last year. One. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
Hell
one
yeah.
more than I thought.
Wait, was it an ironic thing to be in the pedicab?
It was
ironic, right? Okay.
Ironic pedicab.
You weren't like, oh, I need to get somewhere. I need to get to that G train.
Are there pedicabs that go to the
Your G mom train? Couldn't walk, and you were like, let's get in. I have an extra $400 burning a hole in my pocket. Let's go 30 seconds down the street.
All right, here's the news. The NYC Council is proposing a bill that would ban pedicabs from 50 feet within a Broadway theater, which is where they mostly hang out. People have long complained about pedicabs blasting loud music, disrupting the performances, like you can hear them inside the show. Advocates have gone further, asking for streets with Broadway theaters to be pedestrianized before and after showtimes. Should we ban pedicabs?
I mean, yes.
The audience answering before anyone else. Yes, 100%.
Those are some people's livelihoods, y'all.
I say not ban pedicabs, but I'm pro-pedestrianizing those blocks.
That's where I am. As someone who works in Times Square.
But let a bike on it, yeah.
There are days, they are matinee days, and it is terrible to walk home. And I would like to walk home in peace in the street with pedestrians. I think we should all go for that. And then you can put the pedicabs like on the edge.
Well, one of the big things they want is for them to stop blasting New York, hanging down on the streets of freedom. There's nothing you can do.
Well, very good.
That was just
right
my
here.
Excuse
wow,
to get Shauna to show us her most gorgeous voice ever.
I felt it.
Yeah, I think the music and the fact that they have 3 songs in their library, maybe 2, maybe just 2.
It's just that in New York, New York.
Yeah.
We live in the neighborhood. It's literally just those 2 songs.
We know the songs.
Well, why don't they just change the rules about the music you can blast? And then find them for that, and then put them on the edge of the pedestrian zone so I can walk home in peace on matinee days.
It should pick up the by Bluetooth the playlist of anybody who they're like near. So like as you're going on, you're getting a taste of like who's around them. I would say I would like to, if we're going to regulate Broadway theaters, I would like to first regulate the people inside having their phones on before I start regulating outside of it. I would prefer that. I prefer maybe an automatic death sentence right in front of me for people whose phones go off. Because I have not been to a show since, I would say, maybe 2017 where I have not had a phone. A phone has not gone off at some point in a performance.
So we're sending those people to the El Salvadorian jail?
Honestly, if that Trump...
Bringing
make
a
me
national an, yeah. politics into this.
If Trump offered that, I'm on board. I will vote for his third and fourth and fifth
to
term.
Be
I'm
fair,
very happy
has
to
anyone
that.
Ever seen their parents try to turn off their phone? Oh.
Every time I look at my mother and she's holding her phone, it's somehow in the screen where the apps are able to move. They're all wiggling like recently. Yeah. Every time I look at her, I'm like, how is it always on that screen? Every time.
My mom has started this thing. So she picks up her phone, and I every time I'm on the phone with her now, it goes, "This call is being recorded." And I'm like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "My cheek, it just presses something. I don't know." And she can't figure it out. So... You know, be nice to them, Zubin. They can't turn their phones off.
They shouldn't be allowed to have phones then. I'm sorry. It should not. It should be. Phones should by default come silent. Like there should be no indication that you're getting a call or a text ever. You should just check your phone every 10 to 15 minutes if you want, and that should be that. We do not, as a society, know how to use sound.
So that's a landline with a voicemail.
That's what I want.
I want to go back.
I want to go back.
I love that.
I want to go back to the flip phones. I want to go back to no
well,
sound.
Well, as long as Adams is mayor, we're going to have 7 cell phones each.
All right, speaking of phones, I want to talk about the new 5G Link NYC towers that are getting installed in the Upper West Side this month. There's a couple around the city. If we can show a photo, Jorge, of that. So this is what they look like. So you know the regular Link NYCs that have ads, which I hate, but they're like 6 feet tall. These are 32 feet tall towers that provide 5G coverage as well as Wi-Fi. Thankfully, they do not have advertising screens in them, at least for now. But are these 32-foot tall things appropriate sidewalk furniture?
Yes. Does it make my cell phone service better?
I suppose it does.
And cell phone service in New York City is terrible.
Wait, really? Are people not getting 5G on the Upper West Side?
Not everywhere.
That's crazy.
When was the last time you were in the Upper West Side?
Like 2 weeks ago. I went to one restaurant.
Okay.
And I immediately came back to Hell's Kitchen. It's fine.
I'm talking to guys on Grindr up there. I think it works. Like, I don't know.
But does it work because they started installing those?
Maybe they're all standing right by the tower. Anyway. They're
going to be Sniffy's cruising.
They're in your bathroom.
You watch.
So I think from this picture, it maybe seems a little bit reasonable because it's a very empty sidewalk. But on a narrow sidewalk, or also there have been people who've complained. They installed them out in Queens, like where there's single family homes or just, you know, three-story tall apartment buildings with, like, you look out, your view is now, you see a Link NYC tower from the third floor.
What was your view before?
Of a bodega.
In
I don't
New
know.
York City.
Yeah, it was a beautiful
little tree,
boiler.
Yeah,
a tree. Can we put some leaves on it? Make it look like a tree?
I will say it does look a little concerningly like an enormous boom microphone.
Yeah,
I feel
it does.
Like I wish
it's
it didn't look quite
recording
so much
device.
Like, yes.
Well, I think it
are
is
we,
tracking.
I'm sorry. Are we conspiracy theorying thinking it's making us get brain cancer? Is that a thing?
I was at a community board meeting where a lot of people expressed that theory for over an hour long. I don't agree with it, but...
You don't think that the air pollution and all the other toxins that we're breathing in every day are giving us?
Is this because Eric Adams has 7 phones he needs to work at once? Like, why?
He's a 30-foot...
I don't understand the need.
It's just Eric Adams and people on Grindr standing next to it.
But they provide Wi-Fi too, don't they?
They provide Wi-Fi.
I realize nobody likes my take on this, but I'm like, I would like my Wi-Fi and my cell phones to work perfectly at all times.
Shauna wants an apartment in the Link NYC Tower.
I guess I don't understand
why we're doing this before putting it in the subway tunnels.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. That's coming up.
Okay,
but
great. Sorry.
Thank you.
I personally hate the existing Link NYC because I think they're just pop-up ads. They're just video ads all over the city. And yes, they provide Wi-Fi, but I think there's very few people who use that Wi-Fi. Most of them are unhoused, and I appreciate that there are people who do need Wi-Fi in that situation, but maybe a library or something.
How is the city supposed to generate revenue without slapping advertisement on every single surface in the entire boroughs?
We can't have anything without slapping ads on it.
Taxes. I want to talk about litter. I want to bring this over, talking about some things that make our city not as beautiful. More than a third of New Yorkers admitted to littering in a new survey by the Sanitation Foundation that also showed the Bronx and Queens have more litter bugs than other boroughs. The most popular excuses were, I was in a hurry, and something else was on my mind.
Something else was on my mind.
30% of respondents claimed that they have never littered. Is anyone on the panel never littered before?
I don't think I've ever littered. Are we talking about like a
piece
of...
You put trash and it's on the ground instead of in a trash can?
Yeah, I mean, are we talking about like just like throwing your coffee cup on the ground as you walk? Or are we talking about like maybe like a part of your gum wrapper like flies out of your hand? You're like, well, I'm not going to cross the street to pick it up.
You don't cross the street to pick up that wrapper?
I don't cross the street to pick
Get
up the wrapper.
Fuck
I guess
here,
I'll show myself out.
I think that if an extreme wind situation, that's not littering.
That absolves you. That's an act of God.
I think so. I mean, yeah. I think if it's beyond like a 5 mile an hour chase to.
When you have children, things fly out of a hand, and then you're trying to get it, and you're like, no, I can't risk my child's life. No.
I have seen other people's, you know, I've seen garbage or like recycling boxes open up and fly down the street. You know, hundreds of boxes or you know, at 15 miles an hour, and I will do absolutely nothing to stop that. I won't even tell someone down the block to like watch out. I'll be like, this is not my problem.
Right. You just allow it.
I'm just gonna do me, you know. I'm just gonna
What
take
do you
care
guys
myself.
Think about the ethics of placing your trash? So let's say a bin is overflowing and there's trash like on top of the bin. Mm. What do you think about placing your trash on top of that trash?
I think
knowing full well that it's not gonna stay there.
You're allowed to do it. If you can balance it, you can do it. You're allowed to do it. I'm a firm believer.
Because it's someone else's problem.
Someone else's problem.
Yeah.
Someone else will come and put it on top of that, and that makes yours more solidly inside the ground.
And then it's their fault.
It's essentially community Jenga. Like, that's what that is.
Well, I'll wait till the next trash can.
Thank you, Sean. We want to make you feel bad because we do make our children clean up trash on the weekends with the community organization. So if you do put your coffee cup on that thing, my child's probably going to have to pick it up.
You see.
So just think about that, guys.
He's building character. I'm helping.
So I'm just going to come outside your house and just throw shit.
Yeah. Now, okay. Charlie, we would be remiss if we didn't tell the story about the funniest bit of trash that our children ever picked up.
Yeah, so we volunteer with a group called
Please tell me it was a dead pigeon.
Better.
Better.
We volunteer with a group called Hell's Kitchen Litter Legion, which is a fantastic organization. And they work with the Sanitation Foundation sometimes, who did the survey. But Cody and I are not religious, and we don't go to church. And we like that this thing is at 11 o'clock on Sundays because it's a fun thing to go do and have a little bit of community. But our kids once...
with a bunch of their friends.
About like fourth graders picked up a double dong pink dildo on 47th Street. And you know when you're doing volunteer trash pickup, you have one of those grabbers. So they're like, the two of them like had it in a grabber. Like,
sorry, did you use the term double dog?
Double dong. Double
dong.
A two-sided dildo.
Yeah, two-sided dildo.
Cool.
Double dog dildo would be something else.
Double the trouble, double the pleasure. It's fine.
All right.
You don't know the term double dog dildo? Wow.
Man, you know, when I heard that initially...
Was it curved?
Oh, it looked like a real... The best was like, what's this for? I was like, bachelorette parties?
Sean, to answer your question, I would say a slight curve.
It was intended for two people.
Okay.
Not for two orifices on one person.
Do you know where they got it from? Like, is there a store near us?
You know what? It was Hell's Kitchen, so who knows?
Okay, got it. Just checking.
When I heard double dong, the first thing I thought about was in the shape of like a double popsicle, where it's like two sticks together.
I didn't take it home and wash it.
How would that work?
You should have washed it first.
Double sided. All right, I'm sorry we don't have a photo of this dildo. I do have one, but it's not in our slideshow tonight.
We'll post it on social media. No, don't do that.
That's
You should do like a lost and found. Like if anyone knows the whereabouts of this.
Oh, what a day.
I love that you were threatening us with, like, oh, if you leave a coffee cup out, your kid might pick it up. And then you're like, but one time it was a dildo, and that was funny.
Yeah. Also, we're, like, fine with that. That's cool. That's cool. You know, they learn a lot. They learn
all
a lot.
All right, it's my favorite time in the show. It's when I talk about congestion pricing.
Which I love
has been in the news some lately. The New York Times reported on the latest data from congestion pricing. Here's what they found. Fewer cars on the street, faster traffic speeds, especially at rush hour, faster buses, faster commutes from New Jersey. Transit ridership is up. Taxi trips are up. City bike trips are up. Car crash injuries are down. Parking violations are down. Noise complaints are down. Visitors to the zone are up. Restaurants are up. Broadway is up. And traffic is not worse outside the zone, as many feared. The only thing that is slow to improve is public opinion, which is improving, but pretty slow. It's getting there. So I'm curious if the panel has any reactions to our first 5 months of congestion pricing in New York. I know two out of the three of you live within the congestion relief zone. Actually, you don't live within the congestion relief zone.
I don't. No, I hate it. I used to, if I was looking on my on the bus timing app, and it would be like the bus is 5 minutes away, I would say like, oh, I've got 15 minutes to get there. Now I have almost like 4 minutes to get there, and I'm not adjusted yet to the speed with which the bus gets to my stop now, so I don't like it. Go back.
Have you noticed a faster bus?
Oh, absolutely.
Bus commute?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're much. They arrive like closer to when they say they're going to arrive. I've heard they actually. And I don't know if this is still holding true, but like their routes were going so much faster than they anticipated. Buses had to like stop at stops for like a couple of minutes
just
at
wait.
A time to like
yeah.
catch back
too,
up to the
yeah.
timetable.
Oh yeah, I love that.
No, it throws off my whole schedule. I don't like it.
Jake,
let's go back.
Shauna, go ahead.
I love congestion pricing. Now, once again, live in the zone, but as y'all know, I live on 11th Avenue, and there used to be traffic all day long and honking, and I live on the second floor of a building and you hear the honking. I didn't realize this till the first time I had COVID because I go to work very early and come home late. But first time I had COVID, I was like, what the fuck is all that fucking noise? And it's just people honking on 11th Avenue because they're trying to get into Lincoln Tunnel, and I understand. And it almost doesn't happen anymore. It
wow.
is a totally different world in the middle of Manhattan, and I personally love it. Now, the drawback is I have some staffers who have asked for more money because they have to drive into the city, and we're trying to figure that out. But I think
that's just $36 a week.
I think it's made New York City better, y'all. What do y'all? Well, how do y'all feel?
We're hearing some snaps. Yeah. We heard a boo.
One boo.
Take public
that
transportation. It's fine.
Take a pedicab next time if you need to get into the city.
Well, someone else is saying boo, and that is Sean Duffy, former Road Rules Real World Challenge contestant. Mm-hmm. He was on Fox Business yesterday.
Was it Sean Duffy, Road Rules Real World, or Fox Business that made you laugh?
The fact that he was there.
You can't even get it out.
A former road. I always. Is saying real world road rules not the hardest thing in the world?
It's a warm up for theater.
It's like a brutal tongue. Like for the RW. Anyway, the fact that a real world road rules contestant is a business consultant on Fox News.
No, so he's actually
the Secretary of Transportation.
Oh, right. I knew that. Sorry. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And his only experience was being on road rules. Yeah.
And he's now trying to rule our roads.
Actually, now, to be fair, he was a representative.
Yeah, he's a member of Congress. Yeah.
So
do you remember this now?
A federal judge on Tuesday said that the Trump administration cannot immediately kill the program or retaliate against the state for keeping it in place. They were like, oh, well, if you're going to keep this in place, we're going to take away all your highway money or all your infrastructure money. And the judge wrote that ending congestion pricing would harm the public by depriving it of the benefits of the tolling program that the tolling program creates. And then Sean Duffy said, he was talking about the subway yesterday, the reason that congestion pricing is so evil is because liberals want everyone to take public transportation. But he said the problem is that it's dirty. You have criminals. It's homeless shelters, it's organized crime, it's insane asylums, and there's a criminal element of the city that preys upon good people in the subways. Now, I'm not saying the subway's perfect, but why are all of these white conservative men so scared of our subway system?
These guys always start out reasonable and then just get too crazy. The idea, like, yeah, there's criminals. Then they get to, like, I'm watching like a guy get made like at a ceremony. I mean, the show is like it's not that bad.
Also, have any of these guys been inside a New Jersey gas station? Because it's just as bad. Like it's not. It's an insane asylum and it's dirty.
But also, like, oh, let's give the underground to the bad people, and the above ground will be the good people. They've taken over. We can't do anything about it. We can't make it better. And now the insane people live down below.
The insane asylums, like over like millennia, will slowly evolve into two separate races. It'll be wonderful.
But also, he's the Secretary of Transportation. He's in charge of transportation in our country. I know the subway's not like a federal road or whatever, but like, I don't know. That's kind of your job, man. Clean it up. Give us some money to clean up the subway. We all want safer and cleaner subways. Great.
This is by far the best thing Donald Trump has done is take this class of Fox News anchor who spent 20 years just doing things like Barack Hussein Obama's tan suit hippity hop barbecue, and now have to be in charge of like enormous bureaucracies and come up in front of people and be like, the Signal chat that I participated in, I was not aware that I invited journalists to. It is seeing these guys eat shit after all this stuff is the most delicious part of the Trump administration. It's almost worth the rest of it.
Here's the thing, and this is my soapbox about the whole congestion pricing and the conservatives running the federal government now. The thing is, like, Republican ideals less than 10 years ago would have been, okay, that is a city rights, states' rights issue. That is a thing that the state and the city have made a decision about, and we are for smaller federal government and, you know, each individual state having its own thing. And then this something like this, congestion pricing, which was studied for years, which they made the decision to implement, which they're clearly, like, finding some benefit in, even if public opinion isn't there. This is one of those things where, because it is a buzzword and they know that there are people in this city who will, like, latch onto that, there is no remembrance of the idea of small federal government and, like, states and cities running their own thing. Now, they only want that when you want an abortion. So, it sticks in my craw on the congestion pricing thing because it is so antithetical to things, one, Sean Duffy has said about, like, states and cities having control of their own money and location and the federal government not taking it over. And I know it's just a small thing, but it drives me nuts.
It's almost as if their whole thing is built on lies, and they don't believe what they say.
I didn't say that.
Well, you're a journalist.
Exactly.
I said it.
And you think that Republicans would want, you know, like, private universities and private law firms to be able to make their own choices, too.
Not you would
being
think that.
Dictated by the federal government. Keeping on transportation, I want to talk about Uber. Uber is launching a new in-app section called Commute Hub with features geared towards budget-minded daily commuters, which sounds like a lot of people in New York. Among the most prominent is Route Share, which is now available in NYC. This option offers scheduled pickups every 20 minutes for commuters willing to walk a few blocks to a shared pickup spot. Uber says riders will get predictable pickups and drop-offs, and there are no detours on the routes. Can someone explain to me how this is not the bus?
Yeah, but like Duffy said, buses are disgusting. It is. But it means that our government systems aren't taking care of us well enough, if you think they should, to have enough ridership to not need something like this. Like, I'm sure that will be well ridden depending on what the routes are. But I also think there's a stigma to the bus that it has to do with racism, has to do with, you know, classism, and that this, for a lot of people, will feel like it's not the bus.
Because it's a minivan with strangers, but you paid for it in an Uber app, so
exactly.
It's not the bus.
Zubin, are you going to leave the bus and go to the Uber cab?
I love the bus. I take the bus a lot because in Manhattan, like, they're on every avenue. I will say we should lean into this, though, and just encourage Uber to become more and more and more like a bus, and then eventually just kind of take it over. Like, we should
privatize?
I think we should trick every app and just kind of eventually, like, becoming like another public service and then just kind of nationalize the public service. It worked for the subways initially. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They were built, yeah. They were private.
Yeah. Just let them do it and then be like, great, we'll take it. I know we're not going to take it. But we should do it, but we won't, but we should.
What's crazy is I think the biggest issue is that the bus doesn't have a good app. Like, that app to get to figure out the bus routes is bad. And so it's hard to figure out like where to get a bus system. And so now Uber, which has a better app, is going to create a bus that'll be easier to use because the app is better. Yes. We have a fantastic bus system, but the app to figure out where to get a bus and how to use the bus routes is hell on earth if you've ever tried to use it.
Yes, more than that. And more than that, the owner of that app has to be like a Silicon Valley, kind of like Travis Helwig type, like, you know, shirts too tight. you know, kind of stuff where, like, the guy who, like, everyone's like, oh, this must be a legitimate app because this guy, I can already kind of like, smell a date rape drug on him. So this must be the future.
I think you just said comedy writer Travis Helwig and not Travis. Who was the Uber CEO? Travis?
Kalanick.
Oh, yeah.
I said Helwig?
Shout out to Travis Helwig.
I stand by Travis Helwig being a... being a guy who...
We just gave him an idea, so now he knows what to do. I want to talk about the new turnstiles coming out. Can we get the photo number 2 up? So the MTA announced plans to replace subway turnstiles with modern gates.
I hate this.
At 20 subway stations later this year, part of a push to crack down on fare evasion. Fare evasion's down to 10% of riders so far this year, compared with 13% of riders last year. What do you think of these new gates, Jake?
You are just making the population better at parkour. Like, they're gonna jump over them. Like, I just think it's so stupid.
Maybe invest in the app you're talking about.
I've been pretty shocked at how many people jump over the fare. Like, we were on the train with our son recently, and, or I was on the train with my son recently, and just like 3 people, it just like with no thought. I think it's because they got rid of the people that worked at, like, they used to pay people to take your ticket, the booth, and then people wouldn't jump over because they knew that someone was there. And I think that was like a deterrent in a way. And then we just got rid of everyone, and they're like, there's no one to watch me. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's a problem.
I support, you know, I support trying to reduce fare evasion. These specific entrances make me feel like it's like a Elden Ring type of trap that's gonna like snap me in half. Every time I walk through that, I think it's not gonna recognize me. It'll stop recognizing me, and it's gonna cut me in half. I would rather have the ones where you have that full body turnstile that I know.
Oh, yeah.
You know that, like, you know, I know if there's ever an emergency in the
that
subway,
we're
all gonna be killed instantly. But you can at least like. I can at least see the mechanism and not think that it's going to, like, on its own.
You're not trusting technology.
I'm not trusting AI with it. Yes, yeah. Someone else will push me through it like a cheese grater when it happens.
I mean, I have been absolutely murdered by one of those in D.C.
It closed on you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did you live?
No, I'm dead.
She did not. She was absolutely murdered.
I'm half a person. My legs are fake.
No.
Next subway topic. We alluded to this earlier, but MTA officials announced yesterday that riders on the G train will get 5G cell service as early as the fall. So that's like within the tunnels, not just the stations. Cell service currently exists in all 281 underground subway stations, as well as a few select tunnels like the L train between First Avenue and Bedford now has cell service. Is the panel excited about continuous cell service on the train?
Do you remember, it is funny, when that idea first started getting floated around, people were like, oh no, terrorists will be able to like activate a bomb in the middle of the tunnels. And then eventually people were like, yeah, but I'd rather just have my cell phone service anyway. So I think we kind of just, that was a big issue. And then we all just kind of forgot about it.
Was that a big issue?
I remember it was right after, like in the war, war on terror kind of thing. People were like, this is exactly how they detonate remote IEDs. We're all going to be, it's exactly what they
Look,
want.
After
we can't
30
do
minutes
this.
Being stuck underground, no phone, I want the IED.
Honestly,
so I don't know what to tell you.
I either want the IED or the cell phone.
Yeah, I need one of the two.
Blow me up and do it.
When they first started proposing like cell service in stations and tunnels, people were like, oh, it's going to be so annoying. People are going to be talking on the phone, one-sided conversations on the trains. But no one talks on the phone anymore, so everybody's just, you know, on social media. So I think it's probably not a non-issue.
Also, if you take the subway enough, you know the kind of person that does talk on the phone on the train is still trying to, because they'll answer the phone in the thing and then yell for the first half of the tunnel, just being like, Linda, Linda. Yeah. And it's like, we all know the call dropped. So that's just, they'll still be talking, but it'll be a better call for them.
Yeah. Yes.
How do I turn off my phone in this Broadway show? I'm going to a show. I can't turn my phone off.
Exactly.
But I like the excuse that I'm getting on the subway. It's like I still use the excuse that I'm on a plane.
You lose that.
We know that there's wireless on all the planes. I could definitely answer my work email. But I like having the excuse of like, no, I gotta get on the subway, but I'll call you when I get home. I'll text you when I get home. I can just like play my stupid game, listen to my Ezra Klein podcast, and just not for a while. I don't need all the cell phone service.
That is so true. We are getting to the point where you have no excuses anymore not to be in touch.
None.
Fuck that.
Yeah. That's
damn.
How it goes. Also, we shouldn't install
these Link NYC towers everywhere because then everyone
has
that's
different. Excuses that's say, sorry, I'm going to the Upper West Side. I can't be on my phone.
If I'm above ground, someone wants me. It's fine.
That's what we said at the beginning. We should have gone back to the flip phone. We should have gone back to it. It was a big mistake.
That's where we're heading. That's the way. This is very funny to me. Equinox has launched a new class where members can pay $55 to work out on the vessel, the sculpture made of stairs at Hudson Yards. It involves running up and down the vessel four times.
Can I just say...
Wait, how much?
Four times. Run up and down the vessel four times. $55.
People wanted to kill themselves on it when they weren't working out.
Yeah. Which is why they stopped letting people on it.
That's what I...
Literally.
Is it worth paying $55 to run up and down a bunch of times and then jump off the top?
On top of your Equinox membership?
Oh, it's an added...
It's Equinox
it sounds
at
like
the
it's
vessel.
Added.
Fuck that.
Yeah, it's a paid class. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, thought the vessel was public. I have to pay Equinox to
they closed it because people kept jumping.
Too many people were jumping.
So the vessel has recently reopened to the public, but it opens at 9 a.m. At 8 a.m., you can get on this exclusive Equinox class and run up and down it.
Did they change anything about it so you can't jump
off? Yeah, there's a net.
They did.
There's a net.
Oh, they put the nets up.
There's a giant net early, whole way around it. So it's like a beehive with a net around it.
There's a guy who tries to stop you, so you really got to want it. You got to try and get back in. So.
This is not funny, but I'm going to say this detail because I think it's crazy. The first, so people started jumping off the vessel and killing themselves pretty quickly after it was built. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
There's a glowing blue target in the middle of it. But
I don't think they called it that, just to be clear.
That's what it looks like. So the first idea that Hudson Yards had to solve this suicide problem, which is obviously horrible, call the suicide hotline if you're having issues with suicide. I don't mean to make a joke about suicide. But the first solution was no one is allowed to go on the vessel by themselves. So you had to go with friends or family. And then people started committing suicide in front of their friends and family.
Oh, my God.
So then they just had to shut the vessel down. And now it's back.
It's true, guys. It's
netting.
So true.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. What did that have to do with the blue target in the middle?
He was just pointing it out.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to understand why it was such a suicide magnet, but I guess it was just a tall structure.
At a certain point, you got to figure, maybe it's the shape, maybe there's some kind of,
calling
to people.
It was
like,
a low, it was very
people.
Low.
I mean, let's be serious. It's fucking ugly.
It was easy to jump over.
Anyway, so we're not going to that class. Okay, just wanted to see if anyone would do that class with me, but we're good.
There's plenty of stairs in New York to run up and down.
If they charged you $55 to commit suicide, people would be like, I'm not paying that much money to kill myself. That's ridiculous.
you went there?
Yeah. Too dark for this crowd, I guess.
Sorry for that, okay.
We've got a couple of animal topics. First, I want to talk about Canadian geese. Two men are fighting to protect Canadian geese in Central Park, trying to prevent wildlife officials from destroying their eggs. In the wake of the miracle on the Hudson, federal wildlife workers took on management of Canada geese populations within 7 miles of the city's major airports, including city parks. So federal wildlife workers are purposely trying to destroy the eggs of Canadian geese because of the way they take Captain Sully's plane down. Should we protect the Canadian goose? Is it worth saving these
Nah, they're assholes.
Eggs?
No.
They're mean
agree.
Birds.
They're assholes.
They shit all over everything. Like, if you go to Riverside Park, you're like, oh, look at this beautiful field where I can have a picnic with my family. And it's just covered in goose shit. It's really bad, guys.
I think
we should murder them and eat them.
Do you think do you think destroying a goose egg is killing a life? Do you think... at what point does a goose egg become...
I believe that all abortions, we should eat every embryo.
Can you imagine...
The byproduct of the abortion?
Yeah, we should eat it.
Okay.
Just kidding. Guys, this is taking a turn.
Can you imagine your plane going down,
Can we cut this out of the podcast?
I don't need that
floating around.
Can you imagine your plane going down because of a goose that these wildlife officials were prevented from stopping, and be like, that was that worth it? As you're going down, they're just like waving at you, like, thank you. No, get rid of them.
No, get rid of them.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
As someone who's been on a plane that's lost two engines to bird strike.
Are you serious?
Ooh. No.
It was on approach. We landed just fine, but lost two engines on bird strike.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, kill them.
Were there any more engines?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was an international flight, and they had four engines.
Okay. Do they tell you that after,
yes.
Like, hey, by
yes,
the way?
They do.
Yes, that's awful. Why tell you that? You didn't need to know.
I mean, was it impossible?
Don't tell me, because let me tell you what. Delta, I'm asking for miles. That's crazy.
they actually get, it was
they got you miles?
It was Delta, and we were given a ton of miles.
Hell yeah, actually. All right, keep the eggs. I want miles.
wait, no.
All right, next up, I want to talk about the deer that was spotted in the Upper West Side, if we can get photo three up. There's not a whole lot to say about this, but the photo I find pretty amazing. This is 72nd Street.
Oh, I thought it was
the best deer life.
Okay, so maybe they don't have 5G up there. That's crazy.
does the panel
There's
think...
There's a Cybertruck right behind it, right?
So close
what
to
is
that
she
deer.
Doing?
She's like, is it a deer? It is. He's like, yes.
Maybe she was trying to help, but anyway, the question is, does the panel think that RFK Jr. was involved in some way?
As in the deer escaped?
I don't know where the deer came from. I mean,
we don't know where it is now. That's the point.
No, we do know it was euthanized.
By RFK Jr.?
It was apparently jumped off the vessel, injured and hobbling, and I don't know at what point.
This podcast is this show is
so
gone
very sad. We're sad about the deer, but we're fine with the birds being killed.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
I thought when I heard this story, I thought it was in Central Park, but this deer is like going to work. This deer is like on 72nd Street.
Did it start in Central Park though?
I don't think there's deer in Central Park. There are two coyotes in Central Park, but I think the deer probably came down Riverside Park, probably through Inwood Hill.
You know what that means? Ticks. There's going to be ticks in Central Park. There's deer.
Yeah, stay away from Grindr in the Upper West Side.
That's the most mom thing you've said tonight.
Guys, you gotta check for ticks.
Okay.
You're gonna have a Lyme disease section on your profile on Grindr now. That's awful.
Wait, really?
Is there really?
No!
Oh,
no.
I was like, that'd be really helpful.
That would be helpful. I'd love to know what I'm dealing with.
All right, we gotta get back to a couple of Eric Adams topics before we end the show. One is these new drone lifeguards. So flying, talking NYPD drones that can drop self-inflating life rafts will help drowning swimmers at city beaches this summer.
Okay.
Mayor Adams joked that the recorded voice for the drones should be his voice because his voice is soothing. If you were drowning at Coney Island, do you think a drone with Eric Adams' voice would calm you down?
It would definitely calm me down in that, like, accept the release of death kind of way. Yeah, like, just kind of go underneath. I also like the idea of the drone coming, like, we are here, and then Canadian Geese just slapping into it and just taking them both down. It's like, ah.
What famous New Yorker's voice would you want to hear throwing you a life raft?
Jerry Orbach, honestly.
Yeah. He has eyes everywhere.
Yeah, I would like that one.
Yeah,
it'd have to be some Broadway. It'd have to be like Patti LuPone, like some Broadway.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that,
yes.
But we don't like her right now.
It's
we don't
so
like her right now? What happened?
Well, I mean...
She's being
Patti LuPone.
There's a little Audra Patti fight
going
on. What? Oh, I didn't know that. We'll have to catch up on that.
You will,
have to tell me.
The thing about getting saved in the ocean by a drone is that is embarrassing. Like, that is really embarrassing.
More embarrassing than drowning?
Drowning's also embarrassing. Okay. Like, I'm saying the whole
but,
thing's
like,
embarrassing.
What's the level? Okay.
The whole thing's embarrassing, yeah. So you need a New Yorker voice that's kind of like gonna roast you, being like, Jesus. You know what I mean? It's like, you need like an Orbach, you need a LuPone, someone who's gonna like razz you a little bit as you get thrown a life ring by a robot in the sky.
Yeah.
You're getting saved by a claw machine. Like, that's humiliating.
But who's
claw
whose
machine's
voice
famously
be?
Bad at picking things up, too.
Yeah.
What if it was Rudy Giuliani's voice?
Like 9/11 Rudy?
Water. Yeah.
Like 9/11 Rudy or
no,
like current
now.
Day Rudy? Yeah. Ooh, wow.
What about Ice-T? Damn, you're really struggling. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know what? That's
Mariska. Mariska. Yeah. Mariska Hargitay.
It should
I
just
want
be
that.
Every SVU, every person who's ever been on SVU.
Yeah. It could just be a rotating cast of
all of the Law and Order people.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And all the guest stars. Let's add it.
Like
then.
Who on this
oh,
stage?
I was on Law and Order once. I played Ooh. Twins.
You played twins. She had two episodes. Her name we was did. On both.
Yeah.
Cody played twins on Law and Order. One was a dead body, and one was a sister. Very sad to find out
that
her...
Guys. If you're going to get a Law and Order, that's a dream role, I have to say. So.
Wow.
One more Eric Adams topic. He is, I think he's maybe still in Vegas, or maybe he got back today, but he was speaking at a crypto summit in Vegas.
Bitcoin summit?
He was here at New York's crypto summit last week, and in his opening remarks, he said, "I smell money, crypto, blockchain, and all the good things." It's an opening remark.
But and this that's week, coincidentally what they're going to play when they drop the
drone down.
Crypto, blockchain, yeah.
But he just spoke in Vegas yesterday at a crypto conference alongside J.D. Vance and Vivek Ramaswamy. Does anyone on stage, actually, let's take this to the audience. Does anybody own crypto in this room? Own crypto? A couple people? All right. Does anybody in the panelists know crypto?
No, but I every year I'm always like, why did I not get into crypto last year? Like, it feels like it's very, it just keeps going up. And I don't think things go down. So I think it'll be pretty, I think it's
forever.
Forever. Yeah.
Go up forever. Good. Straight line. Shauna, what do you think? To pivot this to national news, what's going on with like the Trump and crypto and meme coin and...
What's going on with all... how much time do we have left? yes, so J.D. Vance spoke at the crypto conference. Last year, the Bitcoin conference, the then former president, now current president, spoke at, and the way he spoke there was like he was happy to be there and he wanted to impress them, but didn't know what he was talking about. And then basically, his children and other people have allowed him to see that there is money to be had. Howsevers, Bitcoin's a little different than the meme coin the Trump's team put out, or Trump's family put out. And it's different than the stable coin that they recently put out so that they could get in business with a bunch of foreign governments. And so what the tech bros and the Bitcoin guys think is that he's on their side. And that's and part of him speaking at that conference last year and the thought behind the environment this year is that got him a lot of people on his side in terms of voting for him because they thought that this administration would, one, be wouldn't necessarily regulate all of this cryptocurrency more than it has, and then, two, that he understood or he got them, or at the very least his kids got them. And in some ways, their bet is paying off. But I'm going to stop talking now because this is a podcast.
I will say, seeing how much he's advancing, like the intertwining of crypto with...
Also his knowledge of it has advanced a lot in the last year.
It's nice because I feel like in the 2008 crisis, you know, you had no idea about subprime mortgages or any of this stuff until it all happened. But here, I can, look at that and be like, oh, that's what's going to crash the economy in a couple of years. Like, it's nice to know in advance why I'll be
homeless.
They're not
hiding anything. It's all just out in the open.
And that's the interesting thing because, the Speaker of the House, I can't remember which Sunday show he was on. Yes, I'm one of those people who still watches Sunday shows. And he was on, and he got asked the question about the crypto stuff and did that worry him? Did that give him pause? And his answer was basically, well, they're doing it in public. And then he sort of pivoted to the Biden crime family, blah, 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 blah. But the point he was trying to make was, we didn't know about Hunter Biden peddling on his name and the Biden brother or any of that. But we know this because he's doing it in public. So the inference is it must be okay. Like that is actually how they are spinning it. Is if they're all doing it and it's very visible.
I only murder in Times Square. I murder in Times Square.
Yeah.
And then everyone sees that I murdered.
Yeah.
And then they're like, but we can't send her to jail for that because she did it in front of us.
So it must be okay.
So, yeah.
I will say, if no one's ever going to jail again for any of this stuff, at least you know when it's out in the open. I'll take that over the hidden stuff. At least it's...
That doesn't mean there shouldn't be questions around.
Sure, sure. I would like to know, by the way, is Eric Adams, does he ever go to the office? Every time I've ever heard about him, every news story, he's either getting shaved while he's talking to reporters, he's in a crypto conference,
he doesn't live in New York.
That's called swagger.
It is called swagger.
all right, one final photo I want to show. Have you guys heard of the Kool-Aid Man Challenge?
Not until I read it on your document.
The viral Kool-Aid Man Challenge has come to Staten Island. If we can get that last photo up. The Kool-Aid Man Challenge is teens running through homeowners...
You have to be joking.
Sorry.
You have to be joking.
Teens running through homeowners' wooden fences, breaking them, and shouting, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Now, we don't have many fences in New York City, but Staten Island's got quite a few.
This feels like white people shit, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm out.
What does the panel think about teams crashing through fences? Is this funny?
Every TikTok challenge feels like it was made up to try to kill as many young people as possible. Like the Tide Pod challenge, the TikTok challenge. It feels like the mortality rate of young people has got to be like at least like 1,000% now. I don't understand how this is possible. How do you bust through a wooden fence and then have the wherewithal to say, oh, yeah, and not just like stagger and concussed?
Do they look cool? You know what I'm glad about? I'm glad because I feel like the kids are really getting up on the oldies. You know, like the fact that they know who the Kool-Aid Man is.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me. They're really trying to connect with their elders.
Well, yeah. I think the Jammer product brought Kool-Aid into the modern era. I think Kool-Aid jammers are pretty popular with the kids.
Yeah.
The A-Team challenge where the young kids are jumping out of a helicopter to try it.
I think part of the problem is that the internet has made information about muscle growth and protein intake too accessible, and kids are too strong too early. Like, I'm seeing 17-year-olds being like, you got to do a gram per body weight. I'm like, you don't need to know that yet. Like, you don't need to be strong enough to break through a fucking fence at 16.
Is that a section on Grindr too?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I guess as the parent of a preteen boy, I'm just looking for the future. You know, I just want to know.
Maybe just don't move to Staten Island.
We have a fence, Shauna. We have a fence.
You do have a fence.
This is bad. That means that all the kids who picked up the dildo at the Litter Legion are going to come here and start busting through our fence.
I picture the people at Kool-Aid Marketing just freaking out about this. You know, we can't condemn it. Our whole brand is breaking through walls. Like, how can we be against this?
I've never thought about this before, but it's interesting that he smashes through a wall, but he is made of glass.
See?
Wow. That's a metaphor.
Guys, we're going to end on that note. I want everybody to think about that on your pedicab ride home tonight. Think about glass breaking through brick walls, yet retaining all of its liquid. Let's give it up for our panelists. Shauna, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I mean, I know y'all don't get up at 7 in the morning, but CBS Mornings, you can find it on YouTube, Instagram, all things, 7 a.m. Gail. It's the one with Gail King.
The one with Gail.
You can TVR.
I watch it afterwards. Yeah, when I wake up. There's news and entertainment. Thank you.
Jake, anything you got coming up?
I have a show at Club Coming here in New York the third. No, it's not. This month, it's not the third Thursday of every month. It's the fourth Thursday, but normally it's the third Thursday of every month. If you're listening to this in Provincetown, I'm in Provincetown for Provincetown Pride next month, and I'm in LA in July.
Juben.
I do a monthly improv show the first Friday or Saturday of the month called What I Did for Love. If you guys want to come check that out, and
right here in this theater.
Right here, right here. And usually it's usually 9:30 or 8:30 depending on the schedule. Come check it out. Also watch The Daily Show. I've written 2,000 so far. I guess I didn't realize that until you said it. Makes you feel very old, but. Just 2,000 more before the cable business collapses. Be nice.
Wait, you think you got 2,000 more?
Oh, I'm hoping, but okay, no, good. I know.
All right, let's give it up for all three panelists. Let's give it up for all three. Great panel. We will be back here next month on June 25th at 7 p.m. With Rachel Holiday Smith from The City and some other great panelists. Thank you guys so much for coming
thank
out.
Thank you guys.
And for being so informed.
So funny.
We appreciate that. Subscribe to our podcast. Come back, see another show.
The primary will happen before our next show.
That's right. Next,
so
we're going to be breaking down the... Please vote.
Vote. Don't vote. Don't rank Cuomo, because even if you like Cuomo, he'll get on the ballot.
You have an opportunity
somehow
to vote for Cuomo.
But just also remember, you have to be registered in the party to vote in the primary.
Yeah, and if you aren't, then you missed it. Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, thanks, everybody. And don't forget to vote in midterm elections. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse.